Hey there, Sax fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, March 12th, 2014, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Author and humorist Tim John Peterson is back with us today to regale us with more of his remarkable sex wisdom. Listen, if you're a man, or you know someone who is, I can assure you that the next half hour will be well worth the time you spend with us. But wait, you didn't miss part one of our chat, did you? Well, not to worry if you did, because you can find it and all of my podcasts in the podcast archive on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. All you got to do is use the search function in the header, type in podcast number 409, and presto! But don't forget to use the pound sign when you do your search. Tim invites you to visit him on his site, mentalk.org. You'll absolutely want to check out his Tumblr site, mentalkbookseries.tumblr.com, and he's on Facebook and Twitter too. For your convenience, there will be links to all these sites, as well as links to where you can purchase his books, in today's podcast posting on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header. The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh so informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So knock yourself out. Okay, on with the show. Tim John Peterson, welcome back to DrDickSexAdvice.com and this Sex Wisdom Podcast. Did you have a nice week?
Yes, actually. It was very nice. Thank you.
any snow clear away?
Yes, thanks to my back.
Oh, poor baby.
Well, I don't mind.
All right, good, good, good. So, I don't want to waste any time piddling around here because I have lots of important things to discuss with you. I had such a great time with you last week. So let's talk about you for a bit, shall we? On your About page, you write this. I grew up in the South Shore of Long Island, New York. Pretty good childhood. Mom was good when I was a kid, not so good when I was adult. Dad is good now, that I'm adult wasn't so good when I was a kid. From nursery to college, I never really liked school, but I did a lot of it. At age 18, I almost died in a motorcycle accident. Luckily, I was drunk, so I was pretty loose when I crash-landed. Having no idea what to do with my life, I did an the Army for 3 years. I had a desire to help people, so I decided to go to college after finishing my tour. Interestingly enough, a lot of therapists I know, myself included, turn to the helping professions as a vocation because we ourselves were broken or wounded. Is that kind of like what you're saying there?
Well, I wouldn't connect it directly.
Okay, cool.
I didn't one day realize, well, I'm psychologically damaged, so I'm going to help people that are psychologically damaged. You know, it's funny because I get out of the Army and I don't know what to do. My mother is going to go to massage school, and I said, all right, I'll do that.
No kidding. How cool.
It's kind of like $50, $60, $100 an hour, and you're your own boss.
Yeah.
And so I get there, and I'm like, this is hard, and can't reach as many people. So I go to another school, chiropractor school. And while I'm in chiropractor school, I'm having emotional trouble, relationship issues, and I walk into this guy's office, who is the school counselor, and I'm like, help, I need help. And that was it. I sat down with him, and he helped me. I saw him for about 2 years, mostly about an hour a week, sometimes 2 hours a week, sometimes twice a week. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is the job. The work is interesting.
Right.
You've got to be on your toes. You've got to be thinking and paying attention. Plus, I realized it would help me with stuff. It would help me to feel, and it would help. Right. It would challenge me mentally and emotionally. And I went to school after that because I went to a therapist.
And well, that's, to my mind, that's what good therapy is all about, is, you know, challenging oneself. I mean, if the person you're seeing is a good therapist, that therapist is going to help you challenge yourself. I mean, he's not or she's not going to give you the answers, but he or she is going to, you know, put your face in it until you make some sense of it. And, you know, I think that that's what it's all about. And if you actually make some sense of it, why not turn around and, you know, help somebody else face their shit?
I like that you say that. A lot of people think you go to a therapist for answers, but a good therapist, just like you said, helps you to find the answers and doesn't necessarily give them to you.
Right.
And I'm very big on that style. I don't even see a problem. I don't see people with problems, like I said.
Yes.
An experiential approach or existential approach, which means everybody's perfectly okay where they're at. Now, if you come to me and say, even if you're, let's say, as a sort of a worst-case scenario, you're homeless and you're a drug addict, I don't necessarily see that as a problem, because I could look at that lifestyle and see a lot of pluses. No bills, no 9-to-5, no basic, generally no kids to pay for, no mortgage, no taxes, no car payment. No, all you got to do is get food and basically stay warm.
That's right.
So again, existential.
It's true enough. I mean, I in my private practice here, I often see people, you know, from who are, you know, these working for these big tech giants that are here in Seattle, and I won't name names, but they begin with A and M, and these people are horribly, horribly unhappy, just horribly unhappy. It's you know, it's tragic, and that, you know, I have opportunities to encounter people who are living on the street or, you know, living much closer to the edge than these techies, and they're not nearly as unhappy. So it's an interesting thing, it seems to me.
And we're generalizing, because there are unhappy
people,
and there are happy people.
It's true enough.
So, but I think what
I was going to ask you, you started compiling this material for your books back in the 1990s, and most of the quotes and experiences you use in your books were gathered while you were listening to friends and family and acquaintances and clients, as well as reflecting back on your own experiences in your life. So this is made very personal for you, yes?
It is very personal, actually, and a lot of it is it's flavored by my outlook.
Right.
So
it's true. I can see you. This is our first conversation last week, and this, and I certainly it broadens out my appreciation of the book that you sent me.
Thank you. I have an outlook that is, let's say, atheistic or agnostic, somewhat nihilistic, experiential again, of course, and so there's non-judgment, and there's a kind of a liberal thing, and yeah, so that permeates it, and there's also a sense of humor, my sense of humor.
Right.
I might hear something, like I said before, but it's not worth, it's not good enough to, it's got to be fixed. It's got to be tuned. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to tune stuff up that I hear, and that's kind of, and it's got to be placed right. I don't want to put 10 quotes in a row about porn or 10 quotes in a row about S&M.
Right.
So,
right. So, the curious thing is that you have a real ear, which is an acquired kind of thing, it seems to me. Because I sense that when we really listen to those around us and ourselves, it's hard not to be astonished about what comes out of our mouths or anyone else's. I was going to ask you if you were old enough to remember the old Art Linkletter television show. He used to have this hysterical segment called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And the truth is that we all say the darndest things that reveal how complex we are and how difficult it is for us to live in this confusing world. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and I never did watch that show, but I do actually have an ear for what I think will be relevant and will be will not be redundant.
Right.
Or predictable or obvious. Like I said earlier, I'm not going to write a quote like, "Oh, my partner is so good to me. I love him so much."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's touching, but that much fun. So I would write, like, for instance, okay, here's one that I wrote that I heard from a person, and it's "I'll eat a guy's ass out all night and love it, but feel funny about him using my toothbrush."
It's true. It's true. I mean, again, a real truism. You know, I mean, it's astonishing when you see it just on the page like that. It just goes, "Oh my God, how?" Yeah, but you probably heard, you know, a friend or somebody say something similar. You know, I've been eating pussy all night, and then, you know, my girlfriend, you know, just what? So it's so funny. It's so funny. And when you stop and look at it, it's really reveals great, amazing things about us complex beings.
Yeah, I got some really good quotes from him, and another one, I don't have the quote, but he told me about a night that he was in a bar, a gay bar, and he fucked a guy,
mm-hmm.
In the bar, or with people around, but discreetly.
What a guy, huh?
but he had white pants on.
Oh my gosh.
And he had feces all over his pants when it was done.
Right.
And, you know, the story, when we talk about it, isn't that compelling. But there's a lot of facets to that. And when I put it together in a nice flowing way, it's hysterical, but it's also eye-opening because straight society, you don't really do that at a regular bar. At a gay club, and I'm not going to say all gay clubs because I wouldn't generalize, but at a gay dance club, you might be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a gay club that is more liberal,
right,
with being intimate, or a gay club that obviously has a back room,
yeah,
or a back room with a glory hole.
Right.
Basically, straight clubs, they
don't
have
glory holes, which is a bad thing, it seems to me. I mean, I think straight clubs should start drilling holes in toilets, you know, between the men's and the women's. I don't know. Something needs to happen there, if you ask me.
Well, maybe that's a franchise we can start.
There you go.
Or a business where we deliver pre-cut bathroom dividers, stall dividers.
There you go. I mean, I think straight people should have more anonymous sex. I think they'd be happier, if you ask me. That's just my thought as a big fat homo, but there you go.
Okay, that's valid.
I knew you were going to say that. No, I feel like stupid. Oh. So, curiously enough, you seem to avoid any mention of relationships in any of the stuff that I've read about you. Is this purposeful on your part or an oversight?
I will say this.
Oh, God.
That a lot of my writing is not just my outlook, but are my experiences. And a lot of them obviously aren't. But, again, anonymous, so you will never know.
Right. It's a mystery.
I would talk to somebody about my experiences, and I'll talk to you about my experiences if you want to know, or if you ask directly. I don't have much to hide. But I was dating a woman for about a year, and a couple years ago, I was living with my girlfriend, 6 years, and I broke up with her. Still miss her. And since I've moved to New York, I was dating a couple women, and I'm alone now. But kind of mostly because I'm planning on moving, and
yeah, why start something up?
I've tried things.
This is confessional. I love it. All right.
I think I have a decent view on things because of my experiences. I'm not just writing from an outside view. I've
That's
been
true.
In. I would probably define my sexuality as bi.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. So last week, I introduced our audience to the first two books that you sent me, Men Talk Sex and Gay Men Talk Sex. And I absolutely want to talk about the other three books in your series, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about each one in turn. The first in the series, which you mentioned last week, is the flagship book, Men Talk. Is there anything more that you want to add besides the stuff we've already mentioned?
The book has it. It just has it all. It's biting. It's cutting, but it's really fun. And my style is not hero worship. And so I will talk about Oprah, or I'll talk about Michael Jackson in a very real way. And I'll talk about politicians, and I'll talk about Bush or the current flunky in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Or I shouldn't say flunky, more like corporate shill.
That will, yes, absolutely. Gore Vidal said that there's only, you know, we only have one political party, and that's run by the oligarchy. And so, you know, I was a big fan of Gore Vidal.
It really boils down to that. It's more the corporations running our country than the politicians.
Right.
The corporations put them in, and then they put forth legislature that benefits the corporations.
Right. It's
to include war.
Right. Oh, so, most assuredly, yes. Goodness.
That's a corporation, the military-industrial complex.
Yes.
And truthfully, I don't even really like to talk about them because they're listening to everything now. There's no privacy left.
Right. It's true enough.
Literally, they have satellites that not only are they listening, not only are the computer companies building back doors into the software at the factory, but they can turn on a program and watch you through your webcam. And they can listen to you on your phone, even if it's turned off, unless you pull the battery. They can follow you in your car because of the black box in it. And they can listen to you and watch you with satellites.
Right.
So I'm not bitching about it, but I'm not buying their reason, which is for our own safety.
Well, you know, they're probably catching lots of people touching themselves impurely. Wouldn't you agree?
Like politicians today, the politicians are being caught left and right.
Yes.
So how do you like that? They supported that movement, and now it's biting them on their bottoms.
Right.
So even they can't sneak like they used to.
Right. It's true enough. You know, it's now taken over, and even the creators are at risk by the thing that they created. So what book came after Men Talk?
Probably Sex. I'm a little out of touch on the timeline,
okay.
But might have been. Yeah, it was probably that.
Okay. So Men Talk, Sex is the next.
That's a nice mixture of everything from. I'm pretty sure there's homosexual material as well as transgender.
Oh, cool.
And bisexual, obviously straight. And then Gay Men Talk has all of that, transgender, topic matter, obviously homosexual topic matter, and bisexual and being in the closet.
Right.
And Men Talk has just straight sex.
Uh-huh.
I rewrote it because my partners wanted me to have a book. They didn't want gay material in it because they thought it might be off-putting. So mm-hmm. I pulled that and just made that Gay Men Talk. But the thing is, Gay Men Talk is, it's not like, it's not so much, it's mostly relationship material.
Uh-huh.
It's not like Oprah. It's
right.
not like, you know, pop culture. It's not politics. Whereas Men Talk is politics and family issues and psychodynamic issues mm-hmm. and actually even meaning of life and philosophical issues.
Right,
so
right, absolutely.
I'll send it to you. But Men Talk is a very nice mixture. And then Gay Men Talk was probably the third one. And that one, again, they're all insightful and touching.
Right.
And they're also a lot like in your face, and they're also really funny. That's kind of like
enough.
That's the biggest theme, that they're like really fun books.
They are. They really, what? Really are. So, can you talk us a little to us a little bit about Men Talk, Solids, Liquids, and Gases? It says in the blurb, topics covered including farts, burps, pee, poo, diarrhea, vomit, spit, snot, sweat, blood, semen, pussy juice, menses, cramps, yeast infections, odors, stains, the penis and the vagina, the anus, sweaty balls, rimming, swallowing, anal sex, lube, water sports, scat play, ass wiping, toilet paper, and public restroom. Really? Just that?
Well, I think you've said it all.
No, you just knocked me out. Absolutely. So why that? I mean, other than the fact that it's not only humorous, but it's distinctly human.
Well, those quotes are in all the books, but I just decided to put something out that was really offbeat, and
you did a good job.
In a sense, it's like. It's kind of a frat boy book in a way.
Uh-huh.
So it's so perfect for college or parties or
right.
It's really it's insightful but it's so gross a lot of the time. Like there are some really great quotes about men's bathrooms and how, you know, there are feces on the floor or feces on the seats or feces on the walls, and it can be a predatory situation where, you know, like men are trying to come onto you or want to go down on you, or I don't think you see that and that's regular men's rooms. That's not like at a club. So
at the Plaza Hotel, kind of like Ben.
I had a couple guys trying to break into my stall at Penn Station one day.
Get out.
I mean, you know, so that's, and again, it's enlightening to a degree, because I don't think women experience that
no,
kind of a thing too often. But
it's true enough. That's why, you know, I said last week that, you know, women would just find your books absolutely startling. Because they're clueless about this, and men are not going to talk to them about it. So you have done us all a great service. We don't have to talk to anybody here. Just read this book, and then you'll know.
That's a nice point that you make, because then you know that we have thoughts that include being afraid and having doubt. And questions about how, raising children,
right.
And troubles with our parents, and sexual performance issues and hatred and worry and yeah. So that's a very nice point that you. We can also be somewhat piggish.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And a lot of men, and I grew up that way too, being, you know, misogynistic and yes. and crude. Oh, look at the tits and ass and blah blah
exactly.
blah.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, you know, when it's turned around and directed toward us, we just completely the fuck freak out.
We love it.
No, if another man does that to, you know, an ostensibly straight man, you know, they just go to pieces. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Anyhow.
I know, I can't get enough of that, guys. But, you know, like, I get a lot of people checking me out and complimenting how great looking I am or how amazing my body is.
You're going to have to send photos now.
And I'm
don't be saying that kind of stuff.
I'm kidding, but when you hear that...
No wonder they're breaking down the toilet walls in Penn Station.
Well, when you hear it, so often, you kind of just get used to it, I guess. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, the last book is Isms, and that is that's mostly all shorter quote. It's like Yogi Berra. It's kind of.
I love that. Good, good, good. Yes, sirree.
Like Yogi isms. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what these are. Men talk isms, and they're very like one of them is for anal to work, you have to want it, and. That's like not that hysterical, but
it's truthful.
I'll find you one that is a little bit funnier, or they're really meant for you to like wonder. Okay, here's one. I'm a night farter. My partner is a morning farter. Somehow we make it work.
What more needs to be said? Right there. It's just the way it is.
And there's another one, just another quick one. Got her in the face. No, I got her in the hair and the face with that load. A twofer. and so that's how they are. They're very short and they're offbeat and they're fun.
You know, I just recently somebody wrote to me as Dr. Dick and, you know, asked me, what is up with men wanting to shoot their nut on a woman, you know, on her tits or on her face or her hair and stuff like that? And I said, well, you know, have you ever seen a dog, you know, walking in its neighborhood? It's like, you know, marking everywhere. It's just like exactly that. I mean, that's what we do. This is, you know, how we have to do it. This is how we claim you as our property. It's just astonishing. But it's, you know, and we're so proud of it. And we just can't imagine that, you know, women aren't equally as enamored with the whole notion. Oh, well, there you go. So, look at the time. We're out of it again, so to speak, as it were. I love this, Tim. It was wonderful, wonderful chatting with you. I didn't get nearly as much done in conversation and questions as I hoped. Maybe we'll have to have you back at another time. But before you go this week, would you again give us your website address? Walk us around. Tell us where we can buy your books.
Yes, that'd be great. It's Men Talk, www.mentalk.org. It's just mentalk.org. And it's all on there, my Facebook, whatever link, and links for Amazon. They're mostly on Amazon. And again, they're soft cover as well as ebooks. So
good.
Yeah, that's what's so great about ebooks.
It's
true. Want them, boom, there it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, and there's, you know, the usual blah 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 information about me and
not nearly enough pictures, don't you know?
There's more on Pinterest.
Oh, really? Okay,
oh, yeah.
I'm gonna have to look for that, don't you know?
Yeah, I've got a lot of pictures on there, and Facebook as well, so yeah, all the cool pictures.
Where all the cool kids go, huh?
No, but I'm on there. There are some cool people on there.
That's so true, because, you know, thank you God me, for yeah. us, right? Holy cow.
And again, thank you for having me. I really felt comfortable talking with you, and I appreciate your style. You're very amiable, and I would be honored to be on again anytime and for as long as you like.
Very cool. Well, we're going to make that happen. So until then, I just want to say thank you. It's been great getting to know you. You are a remarkable man with a very unique talent, to be able to listen to people and condense that into something that is so compelling that it should be a must-read for everyone. So until next time, we'll be visiting you in cyberspace. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.
What a remarkable show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week on Monday for a brand spanking new edition of the Erotic Mind series with a very special guest. And more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal, so your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall-darn sweet, huh? And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these shows. So knock yourself out. Okay. Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.